possible that eating more fruit and veg can really make you more attractive. Does it? Gee, it's a good reason. That's what a UK study is claiming. But I don't know, we don't take these things at face value. We like to scrutinise the science behind the headlines. As we ask, is it science?
Is it science?
Let's find out. Dr. Joseph Milton from the Australian Science Media Centre joins us as our research filter this week. Thank you very much for coming in, Joseph. And can I say, your skin looks astonishing.
Oh, thanks. Well, you'd have been eating lots of vegetables.
Well, clearly you have. I wasn't getting inquiries to your diet because it's just on display. Is this really true?
Well, what this study says is not actually that eating more vegetables makes you more attractive by making your skin yellower. That, apparently, and who knew, was well known.
Oh, well known, just no one knew it.
Okay. Yeah, well known, but nobody knew it. There are several studies that show that it makes a difference to skin colour. It's measurable, apparently. And that people find the increased yellowish tinge to the skin more attractive.
Hmm. Well, that bit, I suppose, we could probably accept. I think that's probably true. But is the science of this all established? And if so, how does it work?
Well, I guess science is always open to debate.
Right.
But what this study was actually showing was that that yellowness is only more attractive if it's in skin. So what they've done, in a very sort of basic sense, really, is they've shown people pictures of faces on varying shades of yellow and asked them to rate the attractiveness. Mm-hmm. And then they've shown them a sort of scrambled image, which is taken from the image of the face but no longer has the features. It's just like a blobby mess
okay.
in varying shades of yellow, and asked them which one they find most attractive. And they've found that people only find more yellowness attractive if it's a face. It's not just the colour.
Yeah, okay, colour's always tied to things. Green can be a very attractive colour, but there are certain circumstances in which it is not. I mean, that's not telling us anything we don't know.
I'm inclined to agree that it's, you're much more likely to find a selection of faces attractive than a randomised blobby mess.
Yeah, that's really. Probably right.
Yeah.
That's probably right. Did they change the hue of the same face, like in Photoshop, or were they different faces with different hues?
Yeah, basically, they've Photoshopped. Right. So they've changed the tint of the skin and got people to rate the attractiveness.
Right, so this is like getting a tan, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. In fact, that could explain why we think having a tan is attractive. And what's actually interesting about the theory of the yellowy tint is that it's not just white skin. It's all different skin colours that this is apparently detectable in.
Really?
You might think it was more detectable in white skin. But it could explain why people like to cover themselves in fake tan and go orange.
I suppose so. They've just got the colour slightly wrong. Right, so it's more about a glow, a hue.
Yeah, it's a healthy like glow. And these carotenoids that cause it, they're antioxidants, like vitamins that are good in good for us in food because they help mop up free radicals that hurt cells. There's a strong association there with them actually making you healthier if you've got more in your system. So it sort of makes sense, what we are looking for in a partner is a good, strong, healthy individual.
Right. And sort of the ill health effects of getting a tan has kind of tricked us over
yeah.
the years. So we know we're looking for it. The tan is not actually the way to get there, but it has now has an evolutionary basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be just, an accident of fate.
Very good. And you're happy with the research?
Well, as I said, you're always going to find a face more attractive than an amorphous blob.
Yep.
And the sample size on this is quite small. There wasn't a huge number of people that they got to look at it.
Okay.
But, it's an interesting theory. Probably needs more exploring.
Interrogation. There you go. You've got another project to go on with after you get off air. Let's talk mortality and fertility.
Yeah.
Because there's been a study. These are researchers in Queensland. They've conducted a survey of 46 species. And they've concluded that cycles of mortality and fertility patterns vary vastly between animals, which sounds perfectly obvious to me.
Yeah, it doesn't, on the face of it, sound that surprising. But the reason that they've reported on this and Nature have gone ahead and published it, I think, is because it sort of draws attention to shortcomings in evolutionary theory, particularly this moulding of senescence by natural selection, as it is grandly called.
Yes.
And what that basically means is that... we expect genes that hurt us to be wiped out by natural selection if they occur before we have a chance to reproduce, because you just don't have a chance to reproduce them in the next generation.
Sure.
But the same theory suggests that these genes can exist after we've finished reproducing. You know, when your selfish genes, if you like, are finished with you, they don't care anymore and they're perfectly happy to bump you off.
Right, okay. So to put this in concrete terms, why do we live beyond our reproductive capacity?
Well, that's the big question, really. And, you know, what they highlight is that particularly in humans now, we live for a long time before beyond our reproductive capacity. So they've mainly looked at women. One of the human examples they've got is Japanese women who live very long lives after reproductive phase is over. But there are actually other examples as well in the animal kingdom. Killer whales have that same kind of lifespan after fertility that go through menopause.
Right, which from an evolutionary perspective is difficult to explain.
It is difficult.
You're not reproducing,
to explain.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay, and that should have been selected out. That should have been weeded out. So is this just a challenge now to evolutionary theory, or is there a sort of response?
Well, there's one quite sort of well-known theory as to why that might be the case, and that's because having a grandmother, as anybody who's got a child will know,
yes,
sort of helps in the caring for that grandchild. So by living that long, even though you're not reproducing yourself,
you're facilitating the reproduction process.
Exactly, yeah. You're still helping your genes get further into further generations by being there to help with the grandkids.
Yeah, very clever, very clever. Let's talk coffee. I hate coffee, by the way.
I love it.
Can't stand it. So this study, I would have been hopeless as a subject or as a participant. But I understand from this study that if you label coffee as eco-friendly, you end up thinking it tastes better.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite interesting, this. But only if you care about the environment and you say you care about sustainability.
Right.
So if you say, yeah, I believe in these eco kind of ideals, then you think eco-labeled coffee tastes better, even if it's identical.
Of course.
And you're also willing to pay more for it. An interesting thing in this was that they sort of teased out what the reasons for that were, because they're wondering if people are just paying more for it because they prefer the taste, or if it's because they care about the environment, or if it's because they want to sort of keep up with the Joneses in society.
Ah, right, okay.
But they managed to whittle it down, and they actually found that the strongest effect was people's genuine concern for
politics,
for ecological issues.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you happy with the study itself? Because methodologically, it sounds a difficult thing to prove.
Yeah, well, it was I mean, they did it quite cleverly, actually. They'd done three different experiments. So they sort of used each one to narrow it down. The first one, they told them whether it was eco or not, although it wasn't either,
right.
And then got them to choose. The second one, they got them to choose, and then they told them which one was eco. And in the third one, they got half the group to do it anonymously and half the group to do it with an interviewer there to figure out whether they were just trying to impress the interviewer.
Ah, yes.
So they've done it really cleverly. Not huge numbers of participants. The biggest one was about 87. But I think it's an interesting study, and lots of other research backs up this kind of effect, the placebo effect of labelling.
I can see the corporations circling. I can also see the news circling, Joseph. So thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Walid.
Dr. Joseph Milton, our research filter.